Tonight, I go into the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your church. Thank you for your blessings upon it. We thank you, Lord, for our pastor and his wife, and we pray that your blessings will be upon them. Is there a way, and pray that you just bless them and bring them back home safely. Pray, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins, and pray that you'd calm our hearts as we look into your word tonight. Pray that you'd help us to look to you for all things that we have. Pray especially tonight for Reese. Thank you for the doctors looking after him today and for the good report. Pray that they would continue to work to find out what's the matter with him. We pray, Lord, for the lost ones in our family. Pray that you'd save their souls. It would be according to thy will. Be with us tonight as we look into your word. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts with the message that you have prepared. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a memory verse that we like to recite during Sunday school, and it's one of my favorites, and it has to do with Joshua and the scene that we see is that the children of Israel, after God having miraculously delivered them from the land of Egypt, from the Egyptians, and set them free, now they had wandered 40 years in the wilderness, going around in circles, basically, and had gone through a great deal of things in the wilderness, and Moses' second in command, Joshua, was now ready to take over. Now, all the ones that had lived that were 20 years old and above, or I think it was, had died in the wilderness. And so it was their children, their next generation, that we are going to go into the promised land, and they were going to be led by Joshua. And so we take up here in the book of Joshua, in chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 18 and see what God said to Joshua. And there's a lot here, so we want to try to bring out some of these, notice some of these ideas from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We'll read through verse 18. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, have I given to you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And this is the verse that we have in Sunday school. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, passed through the host and the people, saying, prepare your victuals, food. I don't know how you say that word, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan towards the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commanded us we will do, whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so shall we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord God, only the Lord thy God, be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. In the first part of this chapter, we see that Joshua's mentor had died. Moses passed away. God took him probably before Joshua was ready. This is what usually happens when you are put in charge of something. It usually happens before you're ready, before you think that you are ready to do so. Now, Joshua was Moses' minister. He was his doer, his person that did what needed to be done. And so Joshua was ready, but now he had to take on a great responsibility. He had to take on looking after the children of Israel and leading them in the way the Lord would have them to go. What was Joshua going to need to take on this leadership role? Well, what lay behind? If you were Joshua and you're getting ready to take on this role, you look and see what was behind them. 40 years of wandering and people murmuring and complaining. They didn't listen to Joshua and Caleb when they came back with the spies and they spied out the land. Joshua and Caleb were two of the spies that went out. They came back and gave a good report, and they're like, we can take it, we can do this. They didn't listen to them. You'd think that Joshua might have had a bad attitude towards them, but he did not. He did not. He was ready to take on this role, but they were a murmuring, complaining people. He saw that. He witnessed them do that with Moses. So now that's part of the thing he has to think about as he takes on this leadership. And also what lay ahead. A land of giants and the unknown. People were fearful. They were stepping into uncharted territory and things that they did not know. What was going to happen? What kind of dangers were in this new land that they were going into? Three times in this chapter, God commands Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. Even very courageous, he says. In verse 7, he says, only be thou strong and very courageous. That's what we want to talk about here tonight, is courage. Courage. Has there ever been times in your life that you have to have courage? Maybe it's a fear of speaking in front of a group of people. That's a very big fear that a lot of people have. And it's not easy. It's not easy to get up and speak in front of people. It's a real thing. Maybe it's a fear of a commitment or a fear of a... Even fathers have a fear of a leadership role. When you begin to have children, you have a fear that, are you going to be a good father? How can you do this? You've never done it before. Joshua had never led the children of Israel before, but he had studied. He had studied under Moses to watch and see what needed to be done. But God commands you to have courage. Be of good courage. This would be a superhuman feat for anyone to take on a leadership role of this many people. This was a great, great many people. Not as great as some of the nations around them, but still, one person taking on a leadership role like this would be tough. But God was instructing Joshua to be strong in his own abilities. That's what we need to understand. Be bold by God's Holy Spirit in him and with him. God was going to give him the ability that he needed. God was going to be his strength. What did he say? He said, I'm going to be with you. I mean, verse 9, for the Lord thy God is with thee, last part of that verse, whithersoever thou goest. God was going to be with him. So it wasn't Joshua doing it by his own ability, his own charismaticness. I think that's a problem that we see in a lot of so-called spiritual leaders today. They're just leading people in their own charismatic personality, their own charisma. It's not really having anything to do with the Lord whatsoever. So what must Joshua do? Number one, we find the first thing that Joshua must do is in verse 3. Let's read it. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. He was to stand on the promises. We have a song that we sing, Standing on Promises. Well, do we ever think about that? Do we ever think about the promises God gives us and about actually standing on them, about actually firmly believing the promises that God gives us? If we did, if we had faith like that, Jesus said we could move mountains with that. By standing on the promise that God is with you in doing the thing he has commanded us to do. When I read this part of this this chapter, verse 3 of chapter 1, I have to smile. Because wouldn't you just, if you were there, put yourself there, the children of Israel, they come through the Jordan River, they're on the other side, they get up, they wipe the mud off their feet and everything, and they get up in the grass, and looking, and here's the land that God promised you, and everywhere the sole of your foot treads will be yours. Wouldn't you just take off running? Wouldn't you just start running around and encompassing? Well, this is ours now. This is ours. Just run as far as you could, believing God's promise. God is bringing his promise home to the children of Israel. God had promised them this, and you can believe that the people, that the fathers to the children and the families, as they sat and talked at the eating meal and things like that, and they talked about God, God's promises, and how he was going to bring them into their promised land and give it to them one day. And now he is bringing the promise home. He's giving this promise to them. It's actually happening. Now, in order to strong and courageous, as Joshua was commanded to do, he must boldly stand strong, relying on God's promises. In verse 5, we hear, what does it say? Verse 5, says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Now that's a promise from God. Are you going to stand on it? Is Joshua going to stand on these promises? You know, I think that Joshua was standing on these promises from long before. He had practice in standing on these promises because if you remember, when the spies went into the land and they were talking to Rahab, remember her? She let down the scarlet cord out of the window. She lived on the wall of Jericho. And what did she tell those spies? She said that the people's hearts melted because of the fear that they had of the children of Israel coming. And well, they should have. They marched around their city 7 days, and on the seventh day they marched around it 7 times and blew the trumpets, and the walls fell down flat. Now, it sounds like a children's fairy tale or something, but no, this really actually happened. Brother Ron McIntyre came back with pictures from the Holy Land, and they went to Jericho, and the bricks are laying on the ground sideways instead of being upright where like the wall should be. I saw pictures of it. The wall fell flat. And the people were scared of the children of Israel. No one could stand before them. I mean, they make jokes about the Israeli soldiers. I think you've probably heard about the one where the many soldiers, there's just one soldier walking across, back and forth across the wall, and a whole bunch of the enemy jump him, and there's all kinds of going on back there, and then it's all quiet, and the soldiers back on top of the wall walking back and forth, and then they send a bunch more soldiers and they pull him down, and there's just a huge scuffle, and then it's quiet and he's back up on the wall walking back and forth, and then one of the enemy escaped and comes back to the army and says, you know, it's a trick, there's two of them. And we've heard that joke, but the people of Israel are in this time they're a fearsome foe to those around about them. Because why? Because God's with them. God is the one. So it's not that the enemies of Israel should fear the Israelites as much as they should fear their God, who is behind them and with them and supporting them. So Joshua must rely on God's promises that he will be with him. Now, if we are to accomplish what God calls us and instructs us to do, we must also stand on the promises. The problem is, many people are sitting on the promises rather than standing on them. You think about the promises that God has given to his people and to his church. And what will happen if we do stand on promises by faith and do what he has asked us to do? Another thing that Joshua must do is he must sense the presence. Also in verse 5, in the second part of it, he says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Sense the presence of God. You must know that he is with you. How can Joshua lead with confidence? He's got to lead these people. He's thinking about this. He's got to lead these people. He's got to have the confidence to do it. He knew that there was battles going to be ahead. He knew that there was going to be danger, difficulties. People were going to die. What was going to happen? But he needs to have a sense of the presence of God with him. Going back and standing on the promise, sensing that God is with you, and knowing from God's promise that he is there and that you will not fail. And this is why he mentioned many times here in this first chapter that he was to abide by the law, meditate therein, and stay with God's word. Now, think about this. Joshua didn't have the Bible as we know it today. What did he have? What did he have? If there was scrolls, now during Moses' life, I'm sure that Moses wrote down these things, but Moses only wrote the first five books. Now, there may have been others, like the book of Job, which predates many of the books of the Bible, The rest of the Old Testament here, the Book of the Kings, you know, Chronicles, and Psalms, all these things had not been written yet. All these men had not lived yet. So he just had the Book of the Law, which was written in the Book of Exodus. And so he had the things that Moses had written. So that's what God was talking about in his word. You need to stay in this word, and these promises will be to you. He would realize that the God of Moses was also the God of Joshua. And he is the God of every true believer today. God will not forsake. He will not fail. Every step that they took in the new land was theirs. But you know what? You think about this. They were not to stop once all the easy land was encompassed. They were to take the cities and the fortifications also. And this is one of the reasons why the three tribes Gad, Manasseh, and half the tribe, let's see, where was it? Verse 12, Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, he told. They wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan, which gave them that land. But they were to go with their brothers into the land until they reached the sea. They were to reach the Mediterranean, and they were going to encompass all of this land. But they were to stay with them, and they were to take all this land, all the cities, all the fortifications, all the battles that they were going to have to fight. And that's why Joshua told them, this is your obligation to your brothers here, that you do this and you support them. And then when it's all done, then you can go back and enjoy your land. So they weren't to stop when it was the way was easy going. They were to keep on, even when we were going to set up camp against a fortification and have to take that. Is our God that we worship this same God? Look over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 5. The writer here says, "Let your conversation, your lifestyle, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Is that not the same promise that we find here in verse 5, book of Joshua? I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. We have the same promise. Yes, it is the same God that Moses served, the same God that Joshua served, the same God that gives us this promise. He will not forsake us. If God then gave Joshua his promise and his presence, then now he must put it into action. Think about that. You can't just stand still and expect things to happen. Joshua must move forward with the people, and he in the lead. He must lead these people into Canaan land. And therefore, he must stay the path. That is the next thing that Joshua must do. He must stay the path. And let's look in verses 7 and 8. God told him, said, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee." That Moses commanded Joshua in this. "Turn not from to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And we know that Joshua, from the history, did prosper. He did. Joshua, he lived to a ripe old age, but he also went in and he went straight out of those giants. Joshua had no fear because he believed what God told him. Verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." And we know that Joshua had good success. We know that we did from the things that we read later on in the book of Joshua. So if Joshua is going to accomplish what God has planned, he must not turn. He must not compromise. Oh, that gets us, isn't it? Doesn't it? If we are comparing this scripture with our lives, how many compromises do we make each day? I would have to say it's a lot. We compromise a lot. And we all know what areas that we compromise in. And what I'm talking about, compromise, I'm talking about what God commands us to do, the Lord expects of us as Christians, and what we actually do in the world. There's a lot of compromising. Joshua must not become distracted. Ouch. Distraction is an every... I want her to say every day occurrence. I want to say every hourly occurrence for today's Christian. Distractions of the world are everywhere. And we know this. We know they are. We know that they are distractions, and we allow ourselves to become distracted. Satan knows just how to do it. He knows how to do it for every man, for every woman, every child. He knows how to distract them from what they're supposed to be doing as a Christian. I'm talking about Christians now. The world doesn't need to be distracted because they are already on that path. Joshua must not detour from what the Word of God is. If he knows and reads God's Word and knows what God expects of him, to take off and go doing something else, he would end up like Jonah, wouldn't he? Jonah took a detour, didn't he? Well, Jonah's detour didn't go the way he planned. He planned to end up in Joppa. Well, he didn't make it there. He ended up back where God had sent him, to Nineveh, and his detour was, he was a little worse where, if you ask me. I don't think he was doing so well after being in the belly of a whale for 3 days. So Joshua cannot detour from what the will of God, what was God's will for him. He laid it out in front of him. You're going to take these people to this new land. You're going to, everywhere that you walk, everything that you encompass is going to be yours. It's going to be what I have promised to give you, and I promised it to your father Abraham and to the children of Israel down through the ages. And he was bringing it to pass. And so Joshua could not detour from that. Can we stay the path as Joshua did? And you say, well, we have so much distraction and temptation and things in the world that Joshua didn't have. Oh, I think all generations are the same. It's just according to what's been put in front of them. I think that there was plenty of times when Joshua was down and there was things of the children of Israel that was going on and stuff that tempted him to maybe ease up the pace, turn from the path a little bit, maybe not be so strict. That's what we hear a lot about our type of Baptists and stuff, is that they're just too strict. Well, God is strict. You look at the Bible, this is the God's Word is strict. When it talks about the straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to everlasting life. Broad is the way, the easy way that leads to destruction. The Bible itself is strict. What do we expect? We expect God to have to grade on the curb? It doesn't happen. God is holy, and we need to understand His holiness. But in staying on the path as John did, faithfulness for us is the key. Let's look over in 1 Corinthians and chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Now, I wanted to find several different scriptures. There is several different scriptures about faithfulness, especially in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, heroes of the faith. Faithfulness is the key. Faithfulness is the key to keeping the path, staying on the path, staying the direction that God has for us to go. It's very easy to be distracted by the things of the world. Many of those things are what we are commanded to take action against. It's the very things that we know that cause us to sin, that are distractions, and that God has commanded us to take action against. And there are many things that Christians need to be standing up for today and making noise about it. This whole issue on abortion is Christians should have their voice heard. There needs to not be only loud voices on the one side. Where is the people speaking up for the unborn? Where are the people that are speaking for the Lord? God hates hands that shed innocent blood. There is no question about that. We read that in His Word. Where are those voices of the Christians that need to take action and be heard? We can be active, though, without direction. There's no reason to be out there just making a lot of noise and not have the proper direction. There are many so-called Christians today making a lot of noise. They're going 100 miles an hour, but they're going in the wrong direction. If we're going to be bold in our actions, we must follow the right path. And where is that path? We find that path in the truth of God's Word. There's too many people out there that have diluted and rewritten, because it's not a different translation. It's a complete rewritten God's Word. And it's no longer God's Word. Once you have touched it and tainted it and tried to make it mean something else that it doesn't mean, it's no longer God's Word. It's no longer the truth. We follow the King James Bible, the King James translation, and it's good enough. As Brother Boren was talking about here recently, or not Brother Boren, it was Brother Jackson that was preaching here. What's wrong with people not being able, they can't understand something? We think that we're so technologically advanced, but yet we can't even understand words in the Bible. Look it up. It doesn't hurt to look at words. If you don't understand something, what it says, you don't understand what the word froward means, look it up. Look it up and see what it means. And you'll get the gist of God's Word, the truth of it. But you must follow path, and it is found in God's Word. Get the Bible out. Read it. None of us do that enough. None of us. You know, I bet like sometimes Joshua felt like giving up. Perhaps giving in, but he didn't. He stayed the course. If you're still back here in Joshua, the first chapter, flip over to Joshua chapter 24. Read this with me real quick. Joshua 24 and verse 15. This is one of the things that he said to the children of Israel And we all know, we've all heard this quoted from Joshua before. It says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua puts that in front of them to show them that he's staying on the course. We're going to stay on the course that God set for us. And God blesses faithfulness. He does. I think no one will ever actually really know how much Joshua was blessed in the land. But we know that he was certainly blessed with strength. Right up and through his 80s, 90s. I don't know how old he got to be, but he still had his strength from his youth. And God blessed him for keeping the path. Remember this. Compromise leads to chaos. Distractions often lead to destruction. But faithfulness leads to fulfillment. I like that. Faithfulness leads to fulfillment. Are we being faithful to follow the path that God has set before us? Take a look at your path. God has set that path before you for a reason. We're all in the place that we are. We're there for a reason. Think about that and question that. Think about it. What reason do you have to be where you are? Finally, now Joshua must start the process. What good, and this is talking about for you, is God's promise without getting some boots on the ground? Right? So to speak. Joshua begins to assimilate this plan, this course that will take Israel into the promised land. You notice he goes through the people. And he does some actual things that needed to be done. What's the word I'm looking for? Literal things. Some things that he tells them to get. Prepare you some food. Get your lunch boxes made up. Get your things ready. And remember where they were. They're all camped on the one side of the Jordan getting ready to cross over. They don't know how they're going to do that. Remember, though, that as the priests carried the ark and things across, they went first because that was God is first to come across. And they went across on dry ground. Once again, these people went on dry ground across the, and I believe it was time for the Jordan to be flooding. And so they go across and they're going to. They're going to need some preparation. So he tells them to pack up some lunches and stuff here. Put your tents down, everything down, and get ready. We're moving. We're starting. We're gonna start into the promised land. We're gonna walk into the land. So he assimilates this plan. The process must begin somewhere. Joshua believes God and the transfer of leadership takes place. He's becoming a leader. As the people of Israel see him going through the ranks, speaking to those that are the heads in charge of the different tribes and stuff, and giving them commands and stuff, can't you just see that the people are just... Maybe they were mourning the death of Moses. Maybe they were thinking, well, now what? What are we going to do now? Here we are, all camped, but then here comes a leader. Here comes a real leader. And he's beginning to put things together. And he's telling them to get themselves ready. And they can tell that God's with him. He is bold, and he does not wither in the face of this new task. You know, it's not enough just to simply know the Word of God or sense His presence. We must put into action what He tells us to do. We can quote Scripture to people all the time, But if he's told us to tell people about Jesus and to witness and tell them the gospel, that is our command. That is what we are to do. And that's our path. That's what we're meant to do as Christians. Our role. We need to be bold in doing so. We must put into action what he tells us to do. Notice that Joshua's movement was always forward and beginning with a first step. Forward into the new land, into the promised land that God gave them. It takes what? Courage. You know, it takes courage to call out sin as sin. To face the giants of evil lurking in the world, and there are many. It takes courage to stop thinking and allowing wickedness to be acceptable in our lives. Christians have battles to fight. Sometimes even in our own selves. I'm going to say more than just sometimes. Many times. But we are commanded to be strong and of a good courage. God is with us, and his promise is, whithersoever thou goest. I like that word, whithersoever. Once again, it's an archaic word. We don't use it today, but it means wherever we go, whithersoever you go, God is with you. You can't escape God, but his promise is that he'll be with you. So let's have courage, and we will carry out the task that he has set before us, as much as he did the task he set before Joshua here and the children of Israel. It's a great chapter. If you get a chance, read the book of Joshua. Certainly read this first chapter where that Joshua is brought into the leadership role of the children of Israel. We need some good leaders. America needs some good leaders. We need people that are not afraid to do what is right, to call evil what it is, evil. There's a lot of evil that we see every day. It needs to be called evil. It needs to take people who have boldness and courage to do so. And I'm thankful that I see some people in our nation standing up and calling evil what it is. It's evil. And I'm hoping that continues. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll be dismissed.